Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Renee's Heart to Heart. I'm glad you joined us tonight. It's kind of a special show. Most of you know that have been listening for a long time, even though I've taken a fairly lengthy sabbatical from the show. I always talk about Hippocrates for many reasons, one of which is what I learned there and the people that I met there. And one of the gentlemen that I got to be pretty good friends with is Andy Roman. Andy, I'm going to let him fill you in on himself, but he has a history of being somebody who takes care of others by helping them see who they are, learn a little bit about themselves, and helps them get to the other side of that journey. Having been with him many times in his healing circle, which is one of the highlights of a stay at Hippocrates Health Institute, you learn a lot about yourselves when you are listening to other people share, and when you open your own heart to bring somebody to the other side of their journey. And Andy taught me a lot about all of that, enough so that after 10 years at Hippocrates, when I left Hippocrates, I did a year in Michigan at the previous Creative Health Institute, which became the Vibrant Health Institute in Michigan, and led some of my own healing circles. I loved it. It was really, really wonderful and taught me a lot about people and everything that they can teach us. So I'm hoping Andy is calling in this evening. I texted him earlier. I don't know what's going on in his world, but he was kind of excited about being able to do this tonight. So I'm certainly hoping that he's going to call in tonight and talk with all of us and maybe help us get some answers to some of the things that are going on. Now, part of what's going on, of course, is the fear of the unknown, the fear of this COVID-19 all on its own is pretty scary. And I think that everybody worries about getting sick, even when it's just flu season. So some of the things that we've talked about and some of the things that I believe will help you being yourself, your mind, in a good place, in a place where, you know, you lessen the load. And of course, the best way to do that is to talk and you know, share with other people. I think it's imperative to be able to open up and show people, you know, how nice it is to be able to share things like this when you're feeling all alone. And I think it's scary to feel all alone. So Andy's hasn't called in yet. So what I'm going to do is I am going to see if I can reach him. Let me see if I can do that. I think that he probably gets, like a lot of men, you know, they get sidetracked about what they've got going on and kind of forget. So let me see if I can bring him up. Oh, geez. Oh, good. I just brought up Andy Roman, and it's, believe it or not, a different Andy Roman. So I think I'm going to try to put in his full name and see if I can contact him. Yes. I'm on my show. It's all right. So what I, this happened the other day too. He's telling me that my number is busy. So I'm not sure why that is. What the deal is with that, that happened the other day with my caller on last Wednesday. My caller tried to call in and couldn't reach us. So I am going to get back to Andy. I'm going to have him text me his number and let me try to call him out and see what the deal is. And then maybe we can get the show rolling. I do want to say, if you're listening right now, this is another part of what's going on in this world right now. It's kind of strange, and I mean, we have trouble with connections with the internet. We're having trouble with earlier today, the television kept flipping over to other channels in the middle of something. I think all of this has to do with what is going on. So hang tight for me 1 minute and let me see if I can get Andy on the phone this way. Well, it's telling me it's dialing, but I'm not hearing anything. There we go.
Hello.
Hi, Andy. It's Renee.
Hi, Renee.
I don't know why I'm having this problem. This happened last Wednesday. My caller was calling me from New Mexico. And he is a regular guest, and he kept coming in and saying, it's busy. So I don't know whether there's a problem like there is in the whole rest of the world with everything or what. But it worked with me calling you. So how are you, my dear?
I'm good. I'm very good.
That's good. That's
so
good.
Are we on air?
Yes, we are. We are on the air. And what I kind of started out with today is the fact that I thought, you know, I told everybody who you are, and of course some of my listeners know who you are because they're Hippocrates people, guests and staff.
Uh-huh.
And I shared with them your healing circle and how through the years when someone has come to a place like Hippocrates to get to the other side of their challenge, whether it's sick and tired of being sick and tired, or whether it's a major illness or whatever the case might be. Sometimes the guests themselves didn't realize how much of a psychological thing being not healthy and not physically doing well has, the ramifications to your psychological self. So having the healing circle, of course, I was privy to so many wonderful things and so many crossovers for people to get to the other side of an issue. So with this pandemic that's going on, I've been sharing with people. I've only been doing the show a couple times a week, and sometimes I've had other guests. Sometimes I've just talked to myself to remind everybody that this is very personal and somebody else can't do it for you. So what do you think is the best advice, Andy, that you can give to somebody to keep themselves in a good place? Because that's the hardest part right now.
Yeah. I want to comment on what you were saying about people being sick and coming to Hippocrates and not even initially realizing that there was a big psychological component to it. And I just want to say that illness and wellness don't happen in a vacuum. They happen in the context of our humanness. And so sometimes internal stressors and external stressors really catch up with us, and we end up overloading our own system with our own stress response, and that totally contributes to getting sick. You know, this pandemic and this isolation and the fear about getting sick and, having elderly parents or people we know or being one, as I am one of the elder people now.
Me too.
It really has put an edge into things. And I think we come a little closer to facing our own mortality, and that's very sobering. It's not business as usual. It's just really an opportunity to see, if you're at peace with yourself or not, if you're really how dependent we are on external activities and things. And, this is, whether we like it or not, we get to partake of the monastic life a little bit, where there's more retreat time. It is more quarantine. We're sequestering ourselves, and we have an opportunity to really go within and see what we find. And if there's some stuff that we don't like, there is Netflix, and there's all kinds of distractions still available. But maybe a little bit
right.
I've seen the edge in people who are sequestered together, like married couples who are now spending more time with each other than they ever have. And it's like anything. For some people, it brings them closer. And for some people, it, freaks them out and makes them more defensive about their territory and their psychic space. So it's a great opportunity to really learn. I don't even know if this is part of your question, but just to know that the earth has taken a breather and it's just doing so much better with us backing off and giving it a chance. Did you see that video where all the so-called wild animals were roaming in barren city streets all over the world?
Yes.
It's a really cool video.
Yes. 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 But let me ask you something, Andy. How many people with all the people that you have spent real one-on-one quality time with are ready for that much truth.
Well, ready or not, here we come.
Amen.
What was that bumper sticker? We make plans and God laughs.
Yeah. That's,
we got our
exactly. Well, because people call me, and I mean they're scared, and because I'm more maternal than I am any one other thing, they just want me to tell them everything's going to be all right. And sometimes that's all I have to do. Everything's going to be all right. You know, take responsibility for yourself. Personal hygiene. I have been saying that for as long as I can remember. You know, I have kids and grown-ups that have allergies, and they walk in the house and they're sneezing and sneezing. They pick up the cat and sneeze and sneeze, and they walk around, and I'm like, go in the bathroom, wash your face and hands, take a hot washcloth, get all the dander from the cat off the little hairs on your face. You know, some of these things are kind of self-explanatory. But on the other hand, you know, everybody feels silly. I saw more people and heard more people tell me, that's ridiculous, I'm not wearing a mask. And I'm like, okay, I don't know what I'm supposed to say to that. I wear a mask when I go out. And it's not because I'm afraid of other people. I take responsibility for Rainy. I don't want to sneeze on some little baby in case I'm carrying something. And that's the pure and simple truth. Doesn't have anything to do with what you're going to do to me. It's what I might do to you.
All right. Yeah, not everybody's at that place. It's like an imposition to wear a mask. You can't tell me what to do. I mean, it brings out the teenager, a lot of people.
Oh, I know. Like, I know.
You know, we're not that with our government. And we're a strong, independent nation. You know, we're people almost built on rebellion, and so we're feisty. And so when that they tell us what to do, we don't like it, even if it's sound advice, even if it makes sense. You know, I used to work in the hospital. I used to work in the ICU.
I know so that.
I'm used to wearing a mask. I mean, not that it's,
and how much,
you know,
how much security do you get from that, Andy? How much security do you get that? Share that with the people. You did work in a hospital. You were around sick people. Do you find it to be wise, and do you feel safer when you have a mask on?
Well, definitely in the ICU setting, because there were people spewing all kinds of droplets of all kinds of stuff, and people were all kinds of infections on respirators. I mean, that's an intense environment. I think with just a regular environment, a simple mask, even a cloth, homemade cloth mask, really does keep the droplets from entering our lungs. And that's just simple science and the way it is. You know, it's not that comfortable. I saw somebody jogging with masks on the other day, and I thought, that's not very comfortable, I bet. But they were doing it.
No, well, especially when it's been so warm out. You know, I think a lot of people, I know when I come out of the store, I wear glasses. My glasses steam up the whole time I'm in the store when I'm trying to breathe through the mask. And I just wear a cloth mask, but it goes all the way around my face and, you know, sits right underneath my glasses. On my nose, and I'm usually, you know, so ready to pull it down. I wait till I get in my car, and then I pull it down, take some deep breaths. It's not the most comfortable thing that I've ever had to do, but I see the worth of it. I truly do. And I have always believed that you should wash your hands and wash your face. And I'm kind of
in the old days, even surgeons didn't wash their hands. You know, there was a time that long ago where nobody wore gloves in the hospital. Now it's standard universal precautions, they call it. But in the old days, even surgeons didn't wear gloves or masks. And this man named Dr. Semmelweis, who was an Austrian guy, he said, let's just do an experiment and wash our hands before surgery. And sure enough, the infection rate for the patients went down dramatically. So he's the father of hand washing, if you ask me. And
wow. I never heard that.
I believe it's German. Yeah. Interestingly enough, in German, Semmelweis means white roll.
Well, I, you
like
know,
a dinner roll.
You have to remember, too, what about, I mean, my dad was in the Navy, and I remember him telling me about, you know, soldiers getting scurvy and rickets and all these weird kind of physical diseases that, you know, had to do with your overall health. And also, I mean, I'm 71, so I grew up in the time of the polio epidemic.
Yeah.
And I remember my grandmother having a fit if I got my feet wet in sitting rainwater. I mean, you know, she'd be out there snatching me up and throwing me in the tub, you know, if I got my feet or my boots or my legs or anything wet from sitting rainwater because of polio.
And then I also remember in your and my era when parents weren't so freaked out about things like measles and mumps and even whooping
right.
cough, where we would expose children to these things so that they would build a natural immunity. We weren't so freaked out about it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
mm-hmm.
how herd immunity really showed up. That these vaccines seem to, number one, they make people so afraid. And number two, I don't know if they really help build that herd immunity, like they say. I think, you know,
well, I feel that way too. Right.
Huh?
Well, and what about when I can remember at Hippocrates, for instance, and of course you can relate in a much higher level because of the hospitals, but even at Hippocrates, if somebody came, I can remember having to kind of sequester somebody with MRSA. In like 2009, 2010, when MRSA started being, you know, a major problem with people who had prolonged hospital stays, and it was rampant in a lot of the hospitals. People that were there for elective surgeries were leaving with MRSA. So it's not like it's our first time on this block, you know. But now there's Facebook. And now there's Twitter, and now there's, you know, what is it our illustrious president calls it, you know, the fake news and all this kind of stuff. So what do we tell people, Andy? What can you say to people right now that in your mind and in your heart would comfort you if you didn't know all the things that you know? What would you say to somebody who's like 27 years old and they have a brand new baby and they're panicking, go out of the house. They're, you know, keeping the baby in a bedroom. They're, I mean, cause I know so much about other kind of germs like cross contamination from the AC, from this, from that, that, you know, what do we say to those people? What's the wisest thing they can do with those children, those babies, those little people that, you know, not too many moms can leave all the kids home to go grocery shopping. They just can't, you know?
Well, I think it really does come down to fostering a healthy immune system in your family and in yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That means
mm-hmm.
it really behooves us to eat well, to rest well, you know, to do those things that really boost us. The, you know, the studies from the Blue Zone communities really show that when there's loving connections with other people, people live longer and do better. So fear, we got to watch out that we don't get, you know, overridden by fear and don't let it dominate our system. You know, do your best. We're going to all get through this. Be mindful, be careful, and make good effort every day to take good care of everybody. And then stay connected. It's just really helpful. These are things that have to do with our overall health. And it turns out these things boost our immune function. You know, to have a loving network of friends, to be connected.
Right.
Actually boosts
right.
Natural killer cell activity. It's amazing. See, if you get a good night's sleep, your natural killer cell activity can be boosted by 92% is a statistic I just heard the other day. So we don't want fear to rob us of our good rhythms and our, you know, good habits. I would say get into a routine. Have exercise be a part of the daily routine where you just take some time, have prayer or some kind of communion with others that you're with. Take some time. Make it a thing. You know, I had a virtual birthday party the other day. And
yes, a belated happy birthday. I remember.
And it was just so...
How old were you, honey?
Even though we were 70.
So I am older than you. I was afraid you were going to tell me that.
Even though we were geographically distant, I felt closer with these folks than ever. We spoke heart to heart. I love that your show is called Heart to Heart.
Yeah. Well, this is what I think is missing in the world, Andy. This is what is missing in the world. People caring and people standing beside each other and people not just thinking so much about themselves as for what their actions, the trickle-down effect to the others in your life, to the others that aren't in your life. I was in Walmart the other day, and there's a young woman that worked at Walmart, and she was born with a crippling disease. And she is in her late 40s. She has worked for Walmart for 30 years. She uses a walker. She is the best cashier in the store. I'll come through with $300 worth of groceries. She tightens every screw on top on any bottle I've bought. I'm like, you're the only person in here that ever does any of that stuff. And she's wonderful. I go in the other day and she's near tears. And she says to me, I might have to take a leave of absence. And I said, why? And she says, I can't get yelled at anymore, Renee. I said, who's yelling at you? She says, well, you know, I tell people you can only have one package of toilet paper. I'm sorry, that's the rule. And they scream at her. And I said, I'm sorry that that's happening to you. I'm really sorry that's happening to you. And I put it on Facebook. And I said, you know, the girl that's, you know, ringing up your articles at Publix, Winn-Dixie, Walmart, wherever you are, is not the boss. She's the cashier. Please do not take out all your stress on her. But I see that happening a lot. So for me, that's what it's all about at the end of the day. The people that you take the time to consider before you consider yourself. And if we did that right now, well, you see all over, people are doing beautiful things. They keep showing all these families together in the living room. And I said to all my kids, this cracks me up. This is us every night. This is us every night for as long as I can remember, you know.
I know.
So part of it is that.
You're amazing with your family.
Go ahead, honey.
I'm just a lot of times. You know, crisis really brings out the best in us, but not in everybody, because we freak out when we're scared. We, you know, men tend to lash out when they're scared, and women tend to, I mean, this is a generality. A lot of people tend to lash out when they're scared, and some people cry when they're scared, and because we don't like it. We're fighting it. And like you said, this is the time. When people call you and you just say everything's going to be all right. We need soothing.
Yep.
We need comforting.
Yep. Yeah.
That's a basic
and it's so and
human thing.
It's so easy. Yes, so easy. So easy to put your hand on somebody else's hand and say, I'm right here with you. I know this really sucks, but, you know, we got this. You know, it costs you nothing.
Yeah.
The other thing that a lot of people say to me, you know, they're doing different things. I mean, I was going to mention to everybody how you learned to juggle and put it on Facebook. That was adorable. And all the other things that you do with your time. And, of course, I mentioned to you the last time we had lunch together, the video with you and the elephants and all that kind of stuff, you know. There's a lot of people that are out there right now that were already kind of homebound. So now that visit from a son or a daughter, you know, they're maybe in a rest home and now they can't have any visitors. And I was counseling somebody. I said, you got to go in and make sure that they set up their IT so that they can do FaceTime with the elderly that are in there that can get on the cell phone and you can do FaceTime with them or a little computer or something. So a lot of places are doing that. Of course. Yeah. Which I think is wonderful. And the confusion in our really older generation about being misplaced like that already, and then not being able to see, you know, a child or a spouse or somebody come to see them all the time, that's got to be incredibly scary, incredibly scary. So if anybody's listening right now and you are working in a place like that, please do whatever you can to be able to do FaceTime. That's worth, you know, $1 million for a grandma to see, you know, her kids, her grandchildren, whoever it is that she or he are close to. And then their spouses too, they've been separated. They can't see each other either. Imagine, I mean, Spike and I were married 50 years. And I, you know, if he had been in the hospital, I'd have been, you know, going through the chimney to get into the room. So
that's
a big part of some of the stress. The, mm-hmm. Yeah, they can't
right,
go see them.
They're not allowed to visit.
Exactly.
I know.
Really tough. So what other things, Andy? What other things, like, for the mental health? I love music. I put my top down on my convertible and sing at the top of my lungs, and that's what, you know, de-stresses me a lot. What kind of suggestions can you make to people to lighten their load?
Actually, I was just thinking music. I've been listening to a lot of music, and you want to hear something kind of strange? I do this thing on Sundays called Church, where we meet in the studio. I mean, before the quarantine thing, but we would meet in a little studio, and there's a DJ who really tribal music, and it's a lot of freeform dancing. Well, since the quarantine, we've actually had virtual dance church. And I thought, oh, yeah, right, I'm going to dance around my house. But I've been dancing around my house. And
that's great.
It's just, it's fun. It's healthy. It's fun. And it's also a way to connect, you know?
That's right.
The virtual world is really serving us. It's not a substitute, but it's what we. And then.
I'm all for that.
You know,
I'm all for that.
You know, there is television and Netflix and Hulu and all those, but I find that if I just, it's possible to waste time with looking at the wrong thing. I'm making an effort to be more selective in what I watch, because that's my diet right now. That's my visual diet. And so I want to, you know, watch some documentaries, some heartfelt movies, things that still nurture me and nourish me.
I'm in complete agreement with that.
And then, you know, I think there's something about being separated that either we go into despair with our isolation, or we make more effort to actually connect. And that's really
yes.
available. There's all kinds of ways to connect these days.
What about things like journaling? How do you feel about journaling? Do you think that opens up too many doors for people, or do you think that's a good thing?
That's a great thing. I'm in the process of writing my next book, and I consider it like journaling, except I just organize
uh-huh.
it somewhat. It really
mm-hmm.
is like journaling.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting a lot of it. I get a lot out of it. I also I pay attention to my dreams, and I write them down. I make an effort to, as I'm waking up, to remember the dream and then to write it down before I forget. And so many inner messages from dreams that the you know, self-discovery doesn't have to stop just because, you know, we're sequestered. Our lives are still our lives. I'm bigger than my circumstances, kind of thing.
Exactly. Yeah, I go along with that too. Well, and I also, you know, I was saying before about family and things like that. I also think it's good to think about the others in our lives. And instead of dwelling so much sometimes on how something is affecting us, our personal needs. I mean, you know, like I have to be very careful. We have that, I have a great grandchild that lives here with me, Michael's baby, and she will be a year old in June. But when this first started happening and I was still going out to the grocery stores and stuff like that, I had to, you know, be really careful. When I held her, I made sure that my clothes were different than what I wore out and that I'd had a shower and stuff like that because I was worried about her. And I want to say that a lot of times when you transfer your worry or your concern, let's use the word concern instead of worry, to someone else, you actually get stronger and you actually have more ability to cope with something because you start feeling more large and in charge. Do you think that's true, honey?
Definitely, because you're exercising way different muscles than when you're just freaking yourself out and worrying. You're actually exercising your
mm-hmm.
kindness and your empathy. And that just makes us greater and better.
Mm-hmm.
I also, I've heard this, but I also am discovering it, that I'm taking care of a lot of plants, and I'm really tending to them like I never have before. I've actually been planting flowers around my outside of my house and tending different.
Oh, lovely!
I've been collecting mangrove seeds from the beach, you know, from a while back, and I've been sprouting them, and I have little mangrove trees growing.
Wow.
And
well,
and
that's
course,
so good for oxygen.
Let's not forget,
that's so.
And let's not forget pets. I think pets are really just brilliant.
Yes.
You know, they're probably happy that they're human, staying home more.
Yeah. Well, now you brought up something else that I did want to talk about, and that is the fact that in the last couple days, there's been a dog and a cat that has tested positive for COVID-19. And so that that brought a lot of stress to a lot of different people. And I've heard, no one has called me to discuss that one-on-one, but I've read things on Facebook from people that I don't know, so I don't enter into it. But, there's some concern now for people who run shelters. And, like, right down the street from me is the big dog ranch. And they had to lock their front gate, Andy, because people were just coming in and dropping off animals, you know, when nobody was there. So now they have somebody standing guard at their front gate because you can't do that.
Wow.
So people were actually getting afraid to keep their own pets. And things like that. So Let's talk a little bit again about fear. We touched on it. Fear is not just dangerous, but it's, I don't know, it kind of breaks everybody down into smaller pieces of I don't know, humanity, I guess. Fear is awful. And, of course, if you listen to all the news and if you listen to everything that's being told to us on a regular basis, you know, a lot of people just get scared and then they can't, they just stay scared. They don't do anything else. They don't exercise. They don't try to wear a mask. They just stop. They stop functioning on some level because they're scared. So what do we say to those people? How do we get them to realize that, you know, being afraid of something is normal? I wouldn't say that you should never be afraid of anything. Right. You should be wiser than that. But what do we say to people that doesn't freeze them in their tracks because they're so afraid?
Well, I mean, I agree that, you know, fear is like it's a God-given thing. We didn't invent the feeling. And it's there. Mm-hmm. Fear's purpose is to keep us safe, right? If I saw a tiger walking outside my house, I wouldn't just go running out and say, oh, what a pretty cat. I would be concerned. I'd make sure that I'm safe. But, you know, fear is not sustainable. It's not a sustainable response. And we need to give ourselves a break, even when there's stuff to be afraid of. And, you know, you just you do what you have to do to protect yourself. You know, I have a little story that about when my daughter was really young. I was a single parent with her for a while, and she came into my room. She was about 3, and she was crying, and she said, I'm scared. There's a witch under my bed. And it was like 3 in the morning or something. So I got up, and I got a flashlight and did the reasonable, rational thing. I shined the light under the bed, and I said, see, there's no witch. Do you think that worked?
No.
With a 3-year-old. No, it didn't work. What was I thinking? The moment I turned the flashlight off, the witch was back. So I did all kinds of things, and nothing was working. And finally, I wanted to go back to bed. I got pissed, and I got pissed at the witch. And I got a piece of paper and I got a crayon, and I wrote, no witches allowed. And I tacked it up above my daughter's bed, and she was looking at me. Like, whoa. And she actually went to sleep with a little smile on her face. And I wondered, why did that work? You know, it wasn't a thought-out strategy. And I think it worked because she felt protected. You know, I'm not going to talk her out of believing in witches or anything, but she felt protected. And then, even though there was something to be afraid of, it was still calm. And so... Mm-hmm. It's like find the protection. Some people find it in their faith, or some people find it in, you know, taking practical steps to ensure that you won't get exposed. And, you know, there's all kinds of ways to protect yourself. And it just so happens that a big one is take good care of yourself.
And yes. Yeah.
How awesome that's built in. This is the way we protect ourselves, is by eating well, by taking good care of ourselves, sleeping well, staying connected. You know, that's
so in
the
other
antidote
words, in
to fear.
Yes. So in other words, instead of giving in to the fear, have some respect for the fear and take charge of it. And I think that's, you know, that's an answer to many of our issues. If you keep... What was it you used to say, honey, when we talk about stuffing everything? Those of us who, I've always had a weight problem, and you've talked to some of us that have a weight problem about stuffing our emotions instead of dealing with them, and some of us stuff those emotions by eating food and stuffing ourselves. We used to talk about that a lot. Facing the reality of something, but of course, when you're talking about your little adorable girl, you get large and in charge yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's a little bit easier to take that responsibility for that cute little girl than it is for, you know, for us ourselves. But that's the answer right there, just what you said. It's about, you know, like the kids worry about me because I'm 71. And mom, you're the oldest one in the house. You have to be more careful and you have to do this. And I said, look, I get that. And thank you for worrying about me. But I'm old. I'm not stupid. And I am, you know, I don't come home without getting all cleaned up again and making sure that I've washed and making sure that I'm smart. I don't touch anybody. I don't hug anybody. I haven't gone out to eat in a restaurant or met with any of my friends, which has been very difficult for me. I don't see my Jane. I don't see Larry. I don't see Carol Ann. I don't see Rick. I haven't been to Hippocrates to see all of you. I'm taking care of myself like I would take care of somebody else. But that's really it, is taking charge of it. And like what you did with your daughter, of course, you know, when you're the knight in shining armor, it's easier. When when you're the one that's kind of scared, it takes on a different light. But it still works, yep. Right? Still works. Right.
It's a little more humbling to realize that, or to accept or admit even that, you know, I need soothing, I need comforting, I need reassuring.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the
yeah.
little girl in that scene sometimes, and that's something we can do for each other. We comfort each other. You know, there's a lot of people who are just saying, it's all a hoax. You know,
I know.
All kinds of big theories. And I think some of those people are just in out-and-out denial because they don't want to admit that they're scared. They don't want to admit that they're vulnerable. And that's how delusional people can get. I mean, you know, frankly speaking, I don't really know what's what, but I'm going to err on the side of caution. I'm going to just be careful. I do believe in the germ theory.
So do I.
I mean, it's not a theory, really.
It's a fact.
Even Louis Pasteur. But even Louis Pasteur, who was the guy responsible for finding out that microbes disease, like bacteria, you know, and initially he said all we need to do is kill the bacteria. And there was this other scientist that he had this huge debate with who had a whole different theory. He said it isn't about killing the bad guys, it's about strengthening the host so that the bad guys don't come. And before he died, Louis Pasteur changed his mind. He said we need to boost our immune function, not just focus on killing, you know, the bad bacteria and the viruses. So even the father of antibiotics believed in the, you know, came to believe that we really need to strengthen the host, strengthen the body, strengthen the mind, strengthen the immune system. So it's a tried and true, you know, approach that has its roots way back. You know,
exactly.
The medical world really relies on scaring people a lot. You know, there's a lot of evidence that I've been listening. The vaccines that they've come up with have actually trained these viruses to be more aggressive on humans because the vaccines themselves are cultivated on animal cells and human cells. And the more you feed these viruses those kinds of cells, the more they adapt. And a virus that would normally take 100 years to move from a bat to a human can do it really quickly when the virus is tampered with. And somehow we want to isolate it and learn about it. That kind of research, by the way, is now illegal because it's an underground admission that the medical approach has been wrong in terms of vaccination in many ways. But, you know, with mainstream, who knows?
I know. Well, I agree with that. And, well, some things are just sensible. They just make sense. I mean, you know, if you go to war, if you're a colonel and you go into war with a whole bunch of men and women that haven't been trained for the job you're going to have them do, you lose. If you go into war with a bunch of men and women that have been trained to do a job, you're going to win. And that's the same way you have to treat your body. You build your immune system. Your white blood cell count has to be up. You have to, like you just said, you have to drink enough water. You have to eat enough greens. You have to do all the things. I'm not, you know, I'd never tout that you should live on a diet because I've done it all my life, and all it ever did was make me fatter or more annoyed with myself. And I've lost enough pounds to have my own small town. So what it is, though, is building yourself stronger. I am 71. I don't have high blood pressure. I don't have diabetes. I don't have anything, really, no illnesses. I don't take any medication for anything. I take magnesium, and I take stuff that's always good for me. I have a couple things that my cousin makes for me. She owns Swift Naturals, and it's all stuff from scratch. And I use those things, and I mean, you know, I am healthy. And I think that's our responsibility. So right now, if you are scared and you know you have stuff going on, you have to build your immune system and you have to build yourself up. And that doesn't just mean eating the right stuff. It just doesn't mean exercising. It means you need to change your mindset too. Andy, touch on that because that's your arena. Let's talk about exactly how important it is to have the right stuff in your head when you're trying to keep yourself in a good
place. That's a really big question, and I really think it's central. It's something that I work with every day at work, you know, helping people switch from being a victim to being empowered. I mean, that's the main event.
Right.
And it's not one size fits all.
No.
Over a guest's stay at Hippocrates, we see that transition when at a certain point, you know, in the beginning, everybody relates to it as deprivation. Oh, I can't have bagels anymore or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But there's a certain switching point when people realize, oh, I'm not depriving myself. I'm actually doing something good for myself. And then that's like, oh, I can actually do something good for myself. And I think that's the main switch. It's a sense of empowerment that I can decide what I put in my mouth and what I don't put in my mouth. I can decide what I focus on and what I don't focus on. I can decide what comes out of my mouth and what doesn't come out. And then once I'm empowered, I'm responsible for my well-being and what kind of a person I am showing up as in the world. That's the place where people's immune systems are really, really strong. Empowerment is the biggest boost to immune function. Do you know that story about Viktor Frankl, who was a psychotherapist who was in a concentration camp near the end of the war?
Okay.
He might have been in Poland. And when the Liberation Army came and found all these people who were half starved to death and looked like skeletons, they noticed that this man, Viktor Frankl was his name, that he wasn't so skinny, and they were suspicious. Did he collaborate with the Nazis? What was going on here? And so the commander confronted him and said, how come everybody else looks like a skeleton and you don't look so bad? Did you get extra rations? What's the story here? And this was his answer. Are you ready for this? He said, while everyone else was being starved to death, I was fasting.
Oh, wow. Wow.
I mean, talk about an empowered mindset, right?
Yep. Yep. Wow, that's wonderful.
Isn't that a great story?
Yes, the wonderful thing about that his body actually followed what was in his heart and mind, that he actually didn't waste away like the people that were being starved. And, you know, it's not like he wasn't being starved circumstantially. He was. The food was withheld from him just as much as it was from everybody else. So, I mean, it really
But it's how he looked at it.
The importance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
amazing.
So
how do we get to that place?
Yeah. Well, I mean, just talking about it, I think helped. I think it will help me.
Yeah.
I think that I love that. And that really means something to me. I don't have to think about it. It's very clear to me. And I think it will be to a lot of people if they slow themselves down and actually hear what you just said. And I think that can be the difference between somebody succeeding at the end of this bumpy road that we're on and not succeeding, is how they look at it. Mind over matter, right?
Because it's not what happens that causes stress. It's how we respond to what happens that causes stress. And the good news is that we can train our responses, and we practice, you know, taking some deep breaths and you know, you can't be freaked out and calm at the same time. You know, you can't do karate and digest your food. You got to pick one. And if you keep choosing the relaxation response, we're actually retraining our own nervous systems and retraining our responses. I mean, I see that.
You know, you remind
you in my work.
You remind me
just
of something that I – go ahead.
I was just going to say that when I see couples who are – they're so used to fighting or something that they need to practice a whole different muscle. And then once they see that there's alternatives, that they don't have to respond with fire to fire, that you don't let somebody else rob your peace, you just – be the person you want to be, no matter what the circumstances. And it's an empowerment thing.
Yes, I agree.
Well, what were you gonna...
Like I said, you remind me of, as a young woman waiting on table, in upstate New York, it was one thing because I knew everybody. We moved here to Florida, and I started working at a county. And a good part of my clientele were senior citizens, and they just would run me ragged. And pretty soon, after almost a year of working there, if the really grumpy ones came in, all the girls would say, "Rena, you take them, you take them." And I would make a game out of it until they were my best guests. I would say to myself, "I am going to win them over. They are going to love me. And I'm not going to begrudge them having me treat them like that. I'm going to be the winner in the end." And I can't tell you how well that served me pretty much all my life and through my 10 years at Hippocrates as well, I might add.
Okay. Yeah. Because you made some decisions about how you wanted to be, and regardless of the circumstances.
Exactly.
A powerful place
exactly.
To be.
So let's put that out there tonight. For those of you, this will stream on Facebook for the next few days on my Facebook page. You should listen to this show. Andy gave some good advice, but this is one of the most important things. This is what you make of it, people. This is what you make of it. You're not going to lay down someplace and put a daisy on your chest. So stand up, look alive, and take care of this the way you need to take care of it. Those are the best words of wisdom I can give to you. And Andy just shared a wonderful story that shows you how to do that exactly. So thank you, my darling. You were wonderful. We will do this again. Thank you so much for joining me. And I think that I believe we're going to make it through this, and maybe we'll come out a little bit better on the other side, right?
Yeah, I mean, the earth needs a breather, and hopefully we're going to learn how to be more respectful of our environment and each other.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's,
and care more about each other.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So good night, everybody. God bless. Thank you, Andy. See you soon, my dear.
Bye, y'all.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Andy, bye. Bye.
Bye-bye.